Paris Hilton revealed she doesn't talk to her parents about the alleged abuse she faced at boarding school. Eddie Redmayne says playing a transgender woman in The Danish Girl was a mistake. And we're talking with BuzzFeed's Natasha Jokic about all of our favorite Adele moments leading up to the release of her new album.
It's November 22nd, 2021.
Hey friends, I'm Casey Rackham.
And I'm Shiloh Watson. Welcome to BuzzFeed Daily.
All right, so to kick things off, in a new episode of her Peacock show, Paris in Love, Paris Hilton said she and her parents don't talk about her time at Provo Canyon School, the boarding school she attended as a teen, and where she allegedly suffered verbal, mental, and physical abuse. Paris explained, quote, "Anytime I bring it up with my mom, she won't even talk about it. She's like, I was scared. You needed to go." She added, quote, "I just feel like they just don't want to think about it, just like I didn't want to think about it and didn't talk about it for 20 years. It's painful to think about, to open that up." She also said that while she believes her parents regret sending her to Provo, she wishes they could, quote, just one day sit down and have a real conversation about it.
You know, this is really hard. I feel like her parents must feel some type of responsibility since they were the ones that sent her there. And I know also in that interview, Paris said that, you know, basically that talking about it would be a huge bummer and that her mom is like a fun person and she doesn't want to like bring her down. And that's really hard because life isn't all just like, as much as I wish it was, like fun and happy and rainbows. And you really have to talk about these things. And like she said, she doesn't know if she'll be able to really move on until they have that real conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it also feels like a generational thing too, right? Like her parents are boomers. They're from a different generation, a generation where you look great on the outside and cover up what's on the inside and you're just trucking along. And I also think this is similar to something like I've mentioned on the show before that I see on TikTok a lot of like when you try and address something with your parents that maybe you've worked out in therapy or you need to talk with them as the next step to work through it. And they just shut down and can't like really like accept that because you're right. They probably do feel guilt, but it sounds like what Paris needs is for them to explicitly say that, which is so fair.
Right. And then it's like she is really stuck in her process for being able to move on. So again, I really hope that they're able to have a conversation about this. Moving on, Eddie Redmayne recently opened up about playing a transgender woman in 2015's The Danish Girl, a biopic about Lily Elbe, one of the first known people to undergo gender affirmation surgery. Eddie told the Sunday Times that while he, quote, made that film with the best intentions, he believes it was a mistake and wouldn't take the role now. He added, quote, "The bigger discussion about the frustrations around casting is because many people don't have a chair at the table. There must be a leveling. Otherwise, we're going to carry on having these debates."
Yeah, I mean, all I can really say is, wow, yeah, good response now. As long as you are learning and growing and being vocal about it, I'm here for it.
Yeah, and he's totally right. I mean, it's just like, had he not taken the role, someone else would have, which means that the problem would not have been fixed. Like, we really do need the right people in these rooms, the right people at the table to say, hey, we should not cast this person.
and it's not like he's saying, like, I needed to take it just because someone else would take it. The wrong way to go about that. That is wrong. That is still not helping fix it. What is helping is him being vocal about it now, you know?
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, this past weekend, Adele released her fourth studio album, 30, and now the entire world belongs to her. Today, we're joined by BuzzFeed's Natasha Jokic to talk about everything we love about Adele. Hi, Natasha. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. As the one British person on the American pop culture team, I'm very excited to be here talking about Adele.
Okay, so Natasha, the moment has finally arrived. You know, Adele released her fourth studio album, 30, this past Friday. And before we get into the album, I kind of just want to know why you love Adele so much, because I know you've been a fan since you were a teenager.
Yes. Oh, my God. I mean, I've really struggled to remember what life was like before Adele without sounding incredibly melodramatic. Back when, you know, I obviously still lived in England, she just felt inescapable. And, you know, she was the first recipient of the Brit Awards, Critics' Choice Awards, which was something that, like, I would always keep up with and always watch with my mum every year. And there are like key moments like that, like her performance of Someone Like You, I remember as well, very, very vividly. And yeah, she's just someone I've kind of grown up with in that way. And it's interesting, her song Hometown Glory is probably still my favorite, just because it really hits me in that, like, I'll be like, I'm fine, I don't miss England, and then she'll like be talking about London and I'm like, oh god.
Okay, so it's like, we know why we love Adele, because of her music, clearly, but I think I also love Adele because of like her personality, which just 100% feels authentic at all times. And I love this thing, I saw this great tweet of just like, where she's just like, has these profound lyrics and all these emotions, and it feels so adult. And then you hear her just talking and it sounds like you're drunk in a pub with someone. And it's just so deeply relatable, everything that she talks about. And did you see her performance from an audience with, and she was asked like, who was one of the most like impactful people in your life?
Was there someone who kind of supported you or inspired you or sort of, you know, protected you from all the trials and tribulations of life and inspired you to sort of...
Yeah, I had a teacher at Chestnut Grove who taught me English. That was Miss McDonald.
Did you ever keep in touch? Did you see?
No, she left when I was in year eight. Yeah.
And they clearly knew she was going to say her eighth grade English teacher, because they surprised her with her eighth grade English teacher.
And she sobbed.
Is she here? She's here tonight.
All of a sudden, she had gone back to that time of being in eighth grade where, like, when her teacher left the stage, she was like, bye, miss. Like, it was just like, I don't know. It was so pure. She is us and we are her.
Are we going to get like a 12 album from when she was in eighth grade? I love imagine.
Yes, hyping up Miss McDonald. I knew that special was on because British Twitter was going into a frenzy and my mom was texting me saying that she was crying. And I also found that clip so moving. I think that's what appeals to a lot of people about her as well, is that, you know, she has this very like silky big songs. And then in interviews and especially like in video, she just comes along like, you know, kind of a regular gal. And you're like, she's not, she's Adele.
Oh my God, how are you? I haven't seen you since I was like 12. Do you have kids? What are you doing?
Yeah, I've got two kids.
You've got
two
kids?
Sky and Hayden.
Hi, guys. Oh. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm so happy you're here.
And I think, you know, I think being a quote-unquote relatable celebrity is really, really hard. Like, it's a fine line to tread. You know, I'm curious. She very much keeps out of the public eye in between album release cycles, which... I think especially if we consider Adele as a contemporary of Amy Winehouse, you know, they both went to the same school. She has said in the past that, like, she was a huge influence to her. I think it's, like, that choice is very interesting.
All right, we'll be right back with more from Natasha Jokic. Welcome back. We're talking with BuzzFeed's Natasha Jokic about our favorite Adele moments from this year. So this past Friday, 30 is released and critics and fans are both instantly calling it a masterpiece. But the way you know an album is really good is when Twitter is flooded with memes. I mean, we're talking about ones that are like, in the car listening to Adele crying over the divorce I've never been through and the child I don't have, or pretending to be going through a breakup before pressing play on the new Adele album. And then one Twitter user quoting one of the album's lyrics, I'll be taking flowers to the cemetery of my heart. Adele, it's been 5 seconds. Like, this is just so, it's so, so good. And that's when you know you've made it. Do you have any favorites that you've seen?
My favorite one was Everybody is Tough Until They Start Listening to Adele. And I was like, yeah.
That's so very real.
No, it is real. I know. I have very specific like high school memories of my dad also relating to 19, you know, which sucks you in.
It's honestly probably the thing I don't like about Adele is that she makes me feel things. I mean, we all know that I'm a sap and I don't like to have feelings. And so listening to her, I'm like, oh, damn it, this is gonna happen.
No, Adele. Oh,
that's like that was such a thing with like, I had a meeting with my wonderful manager on Friday and he was like, have you listened to the new Adele? He was like, I've already listened to it, it's great. And I was like, I feel like I need to carve out like an hour where I'm going to lie and stare existentially into space. And just, you know, I haven't been heartbroken in a while, thankfully, but, you know, just pick one of those and cry. It's an experience.
Wait, okay, so this is going to be a really weird question, but like, if you are telling someone who hasn't listened to the Adele album, like, what the perfect aesthetic would be to listen, like, are you, like, are you by yourself? Are you with friends? Are you in an apartment? Are you out somewhere? Like, how are you envisioning the ideal listening of 30?
Oh my God, that's such an interesting question. The other day, I mean, okay, integral to this scene I'm about to paint you is that I am in New York, where we actually have seasons. No offense, sure, to LA. But the other day I was walking down a street and, you know, the leaves are all orange, and I was in my new, like, long coat, and it was a bit brisk out. I could just hear Adele coming in through my headphones, and it was beautiful. Other than that, I would just say, like, I think anywhere you can be quiet and concentrate for me personally is ideal. I was like, this isn't, there are some more upbeat songs on the album, don't get me wrong, but I was like, I don't know if I think this is a subway listen.
Yeah, I feel personally. Like I'm in my car, it's raining, and I'm blasting the music, and I have mascara on. I don't wear mascara, but I want to see the proof of my tears. And also, I'm not driving because I don't think anyone should be in control of a vehicle while listening to Adele. Does that make sense? I don't want anyone to get into an accident.
I don't know. Like, I haven't driven a car in a very long time, but I very much used to think when I had a car when Rolling in the Deep came out and it was on the radio all the time. And I would think that no one on the street could hear me, when in hindsight, they probably clearly could. And like, I do not have the same range as Adele, but my God, did I just go for it?
100% relatable, and I love it. Okay, wait. I do want to ask about, we had just seen this, that she somehow got Spotify to get rid of the album shuffle button so that people have to, like, listen to the album the way it was meant to be listened to. And I think that is the most powerful thing ever.
Oh my God. I heard that news, and then I accidentally hit shuffle on the album the second time I was listening to it anyway. So I was like, sorry, all this work you've done. I mean, yeah, I think it's just a testament to the incredible industry power Adele has. And I really enjoyed some of the responses to that, because people were like, who is listening to an album, especially for the first time, out of order?
Me.
Like, who are these people?
Oh, okay, really? Chaos agent.
Oh my God.
I know.
You've actually shocked Tasha. You've shocked her.
I know.
I'm just stunned.
Like, it never occurred to me that the order was important, which I guess is silly, because, like, if you're reading a book, like, the chapters are important, like, you have to go in order. But I guess I never really thought of an album as, like, telling a full story.
Shyla, that is literally what it is.
Casey, I haven't listened to anything that wasn't a Christmas Carol in like 4 months. Give me a break.
Okay. Well, no, I'll never give you a break. So.
Okay, but now that we're talking about it, I want to get into the specifics of the actual album. Like, what did you think of 30, and is it the masterpiece that everyone is saying it is?
I mean, like, in short, yeah. But there are two songs that, like, I really want to highlight as, I think, the emotional core of the album, which isn't to say, like, I think there's a great deal of, within the context of an Adele record, it's, you know, it still has the timeless quality to it, but I think there's a little bit more experimentation on this album, which pays off beautifully. Like, there's, some of it, like, makes me want to, like, dance and get it on. Sorry, Bum, if you're listening to me. But the two songs that I think really got the tears flowing for me, and that I've seen a lot of responses to online, are My Little Love and To Be Loved. We're big on love in this record. So My Little Love, you know, it's track two, so we're getting misty-eyed pretty much immediately here. And what a lot of people noticed is that, like, it has some raw recordings of her speaking to her son, Angelo, just, like, very, very heartbreaking. And, like, the bit that really, really got me, as, you know, someone who doesn't have kids, who is hungover a lot, is, like, in the end voice. Not talking about my state of mind today. She, like, in tears, says, I feel like today is the first day since I left him that I feel lonely. And, like, it's, like, actually her speaking, and it just feels so, like, vulnerable and intimate. And then with To Be Loved, okay, I'm not exaggerating here. I went to a bar on Friday, and I was telling my friends this, and they were like, really? And I was like, yeah, I think it's one of the best vocal performances I think I've ever heard in a recorded song. Like, it's so powerful. I don't know if there's a misconception that songs that are just driven with, like, very, very sparse piano chords behind them are like somehow easier to pull off than like something more instrumentally complex. But like, to be really clear, I think it's incredibly hard to carry a song just based on like your vocal ability and delivery and your lyricism. And like, of course, Adele can do it. She can do it very, very well. And she previously told Zane Lowe that she won't perform it live outside of like, we saw a little recording of her doing it in her living room, because she said, quote, "I can't even listen to it. I have to leave the room. I get really upset. I get really choked up," which completely makes sense because, you know, I can hardly hear it without crying and I'm not Adele. So in short, yes, the album is wonderful.
Okay, so I guess my last question is, do you think that either of those two songs or any other songs on the album are going to like reach the success of Rolling in the Deep or Someone Like You? Or do you think that this is more just like an amazing album altogether and like one of her best albums?
I mean, I think that's an interesting question. When we compare something to like Rolling in the Deep or Someone Like You levels, you know, they were what they are in part and had that impact because, you know, at least internationally as well, my impression is that it was kind of a breakout hit that like kind of catapulted her into a very much a new level, which isn't to say that she wasn't successful before, because she was, but like, you know, she's already broken out and is established now. And I don't think she needs to, or like even necessarily could, just by that very core of it, have another hit like those two. And she has spoken specifically in reference to Hello in her Vogue interview. She said, quote, "You know, there isn't a bombastic Hello, but I don't want another song like that. That song catapulted me in fame to another level that I don't want to happen again. I'm not saying I've not got Hellos in my pocket. I was just conscious that I didn't want my story on this album to sound like that," which is totally fair enough. And I think, you know, the album sounds great and it's a great collective album.
You know, I think it was absolutely rude of me to even request that something would be as like, you know, big as Rolling in the Deep or Someone Like You, because it's like, and not that I'm asking her to prove herself with like another song like that, but it's like, she's already proven herself. She's Adele. She can do whatever she wants and she'll always have Rolling in the Deep or Someone Like You or Hello. And she can just like keep creating and making us cry all the time.
Yes, I mean, it's such a rare status that anyone, you know, achieves in the music industry. And I think the insight we've gotten through the interviews where she's talking about the recording process with her record label, like still being asked, you know, how are you going to appeal to 14-year-olds? Still, she said that with I Drink Wine, there was originally a 15-minute version of it. She was told it wouldn't get played on radio, so she had to cut it down to, I think the final one is around 6 minutes.
I would listen to 15 minutes of I Drink Wine. Let's
just, yeah, I that really song would. Was made for Shyla.
Exactly. So yeah, it's been super interesting to hear from that. But then at the same time, yeah, I mean, she's an industry juggernaut.
She is. Okay, well, Natasha, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me and for letting me ramble about Adele.
All right, that's it for today. Come back and join us tomorrow.
And remember, make sure you listen to Adele in the car while it's raining.
Yeah, maybe don't drive unless you're a really great driver. And you can see behind your tears.
Yes.
That's up to you. Be sure to subscribe to BuzzFeed Daily on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you go for your podcasts.
And please take the time to leave us a rating and a review. It helps us figure out what you like about the show versus what you love about the show. And remember to come back for more of the biggest stories on BuzzFeed coming to you daily.